Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've got 90 degrees. Yes, a record for this date in the state of Minnesota. How about that? Mostly cloudy. Wind out of the south at 17. It is a WCCO Sports Sunday, hour number two of this epic show. We go until 6 p.m. Eric Nelson in for Stevie T. Thanks so much for tuning us in. Stevie T was in earlier today for Denny Long. J-Lo, Jonathan Lowe, is our studio coordinator. He's a little distracted right now. His Chiefs are playing the Chargers, and they lead out there in Los Angeles in front of roughly 27,000 fans, about 10,000 less than what the Johnnies and Tommies drew yesterday. In the newsroom, it's Newsy Susie Jones. We'll have an NFL scoreboard update later this hour. We'll talk Twins with Al Newman. But first and foremost, we go outdoors with our good friend Steve Carney. And Steve, I know you're kind of like a weather guy yourself. It affects everything you do. The last 3 days have been a lot more like Florida than Minnesota for sure.
Hey, good afternoon, Eric. It has not been a very nice 3 days. I'm down here in southern Wisconsin, down in Toma. And we've had record-breaking 3 days in a row in the low 90s. It's 95 today, and it really puts a crimp on your hunting and your fishing when you have temperatures like this. So we're all kind of suffering through it right now.
Yeah, I know you're out, doing a lot of different things. Let's start with the tail end of the summer fishing season. I mean, it's more July-like now, even though we've officially gone into the autumnal equinox, so to speak. But what does it do to the fishing here in the early fall?
Well, it's been happening for 10 or 15 years, Eric. We've had this hot weather going into the fall. It really delays that fall bite. Water temperatures have been rising the past week instead of falling, and that's not good for the fall bite. Fishing up in northern Minnesota, a little bit better. They've had some cooler nights, but boy, I tell you, this hot stretch is going to kill things for a while, and it's going to be another maybe 2-3 weeks till we get into a decent fall bite. We got to get those water temperatures down in the 50s to get things kind of going. Right now, things are back up in the middle 60s, not where you want them to be. But, you know, that's been the trend. It's been, you know, warmer into the fall. We've had warmer Septembers, Octobers, even November. So we just have to kind of adapt.
Yeah. Do you remember, though, a stretch like this, late into September? I know we've had some moments where we've had these little mini heat waves, but this seems almost, historic.
Yeah, you know, this warmth is, you know, there's a good side to the warmth. It's keeping the really migrant ducks locally. Opener was yesterday. A lot of the wood ducks and teal are still in Minnesota right now, and this warm weather will keep them around. It's keeping the doves around. That's the good thing. When we get some cool nights, a lot of our early migrant waterfowl will head south, and you know, that's tough for us in Minnesota. We need that early, hunt, and we need to keep those early migrants here. So that's good news. I've heard sporadic action throughout the state this weekend. I think because of the heat statewide, it's really kept a lot of people out of the sloughs on the opener yesterday. And again, that's kind of typical, but I have noticed we've got some cool weather coming on Tuesday, and boy, do we need it. We need highs in the 60s, highs in the 50s. And that'll, get our hunting going again. It'll get the fishing going again. So really happy to see that coming because, boy, the humidity down here is in the high 60s, 68, 69. And it's tough just to kind of function in that type of stuff. So I'm glad to see the change coming.
Yeah, it's like a sauna outside, no doubt. How does this kind of heat affect your strategy when you're out on the lakes looking for fish or chasing the ducks? I mean, certainly it affects, the animals and the fish, but it affects the humans too.
Yeah, that's a good point. And because, Eric, with this heat, and I've been in Wisconsin a couple times this week bow hunting, and I'll tell you, the deer are not moving in this either, and the deer are just like human beings when they have this type of heat and no clouds in the sky. You know, they hunker down. They don't move. They might move to water a couple times a day, but there's no morning movement. There's no evening movement. There's still good sign out there, but you know, all the animals, you know, behave just like we do, tuck into some shade and just kind of tough it out. So it's really affecting, you know, pretty much all facets of the outdoors right now. And, you know, fishing in the middle of the day and this type of stuff is almost impossible. So we're back to that early morning, late evening kind of thing, and that will probably continue until we get that cool down coming. So really glad to see this coming. And, you know, it's just, you know, one of those things you got to kind of roll with it and see what Mother Nature throws at you.
Yeah, no doubt. And, again, currently 90 degrees, dew point at 63 in the Twin Cities, wind out of the south at 17. So there's a bit of a breeze. That's the saving grace, but still very hot outside. We're going outdoors. We do it every Sunday with Steve Carney, who's currently in Wisconsin. Now, Steve, when will you migrate back to Minnesota and pursue those ducks and fish?
I will be back at it tomorrow morning. I'm looking at the rain coming in, which is okay. I'd rather hunt in 60 degrees and rain than this, you know, humidity and the heat that we have here. So back at it tomorrow, probably be in Wisconsin the middle part of the week, and I anticipate things improving. And I notice it looks like 60s for probably the next 6-7 days. So I think later next week things are going to really be going. And people have to keep in mind, too, especially in the central zone of Minnesota, for you waterfowlers out there, we have this next week, and then we have a week off. You have to check your regulations and remember that the north, the central, and the southern waterfowl zones in Minnesota have a closure, right, kind of in the middle of the season. So you have to be very aware of those dates. So the central zone will be good this week and then closing on Sunday for a week. So you got to pay attention to that. A lot of people out there don't even know about those zone closures. So you have to make sure you're not out there banging around when you shouldn't be.
From a duck perspective, where does Minnesota rank nationally?
Not very good, Eric. It's been a downhill spiral for the last 15, 18 years. The best thing going for us are the local ducks early, the mallards, the wood ducks, the teal. And, you know, after that, once they push through, we just don't get the migration through here anymore. And a lot of these ducks have been, you know, heading west and heading down through the Dakotas and Montana and Colorado and bypassing Minnesota. And it's like we've talked before, it's the water quality. We don't have food in the lakes anymore. We don't have food in the sloughs. And a lot of sloughs have been drained and tiled, and we don't have the habitat. So this is a progressive thing. A lot of these ducks that fly south are led by very veteran birds that have been through two or three seasons, and they bring the younger birds down, and they tend to go where the food is and where the good water is. And that trend has been going on for 15, 16, 17 years. So our northern flight, as we used to call it in the 70s and 80s and early 90s, is very minimal, and it's because of what we've created in the outdoors and our water quality and our farm fields, and that's the long and short of it.
All right, Steve, stay cool, stay hydrated. I know we'll have you on next Sunday.
Absolutely, Eric. You have a great day.
Thank you. He's Steve Carney, Focus on Fishing and Hunting. We do it every week on Sunday, right here on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah, Montana sounds pretty good right about now. Some cool mountain air. 90 degrees in the Twin Cities, mostly cloudy. Wind out of the south at 17. Dew point 63. It is sticky. 421 Sports Sunday. Eric Nelson with you. The Twins win today in Detroit over the Tigers. So they continue to roll. They sweep the Tigers at Comerica. 10-4 the final. Twins have a 5-game lead over three teams for that final AL wildcard spot. LA Sparks leading the Minnesota Lynx 74-62. There's 6:32 to go in the fourth in that one. And the Minnesota Vikings get a convincing win today at U.S. Bank Stadium over Tampa Bay. I was there to watch that one. 34-17, your final. Minnesota Wild on the ice tonight in Denver against the Colorado Avalanche in preseason action. And joining us now is Mike Greenlay, Wild TV analyst. And, Mike, thanks so much for your time. I know Minnesota got a victory last night at the X over Colorado 2-1. So we are inching our way to the start of the regular season. What have been the storylines so far in the preseason?
Well, I think the storylines obviously is Zach Parise, but seeing him skate with the team until yesterday or the day before. So it's good to see him come back onto the ice in a somewhat, I guess I would say, I wouldn't say full capacity, just because, you know, he's going to still take things a little bit easy here, you know, even though he's skating with the team. I think some other storylines, just the fact that there are some spots to be battled for. I mean, back on the blue line in particular, that's the other, I guess the main theme here is that there's some battles to be fought here for spots, you know, back in the fifth, sixth, seventh D for the Minnesota Wild. So we'll see how that all transpires over the next week or so.
Yeah, Wild have 4 preseason games left tonight at Colorado, at Dallas on Tuesday, at St. Louis on Thursday. Then on Saturday, they will host the Dallas Stars. The regular season opener, Thursday, October 5, at Detroit. When you talk about Zach Parise and coming back and easing him into things, so to speak, what are you looking for now, and what do you want to see when the puck drops for good against the Red Wings?
Well, I think there's not going to be, I don't think, a whole bunch of surprises up front. If assuming they have a healthy lineup, things kind of fall into place pretty nicely on the 4 lines. The Wild addressed some areas. They got some more depth. They made a trade this summer that gave them a couple of guys that can find their way into the lineup very quickly. So guys like Ennis and Foligno. So I think the forward lines, if everybody's healthy, can look pretty decent. Erickson Ek will skate today, I believe, for the first time in a preseason game. He was a little banged up from Traverse City, but he is back, ready to go, I think. So that'll be, you know, something that we'll be keeping our eye on. You know, as things move along here, I think as it relates to Zach Parise, they just want to have him kind of, you know, get a good feel, get his legs under him, and not do anything to kind of take himself any steps backwards. But for the rest of the lineup, you know, the training camp for the Iowa Wild starts today. So they made a few more cuts yesterday, the Wild did, and they'll probably be starting to pare down that, I think, 37 player number. It'll be getting closer to the high 20s here as the week goes on. With only the guys hanging around that have a chance to maybe catch a spot back on the blue line or maybe as that extra forward.
Mike Greenlay, our guest, Minnesota Wild broadcaster here on WCCO. Again, the Wild and the Avalanche preseason hockey tonight from downtown Denver out in Colorado. Certainly going one and done in the playoffs, disappointing, losing to the St. Louis Blues in 5 games. This team has to, you know, put that in the rearview mirror. They made some changes in the offseason, Mike, not major surgery, but they tweaked a few things. They bring in Matt Cullen, who the last 2 years has been part of Pittsburgh and the Penguins' run to back-to-back Stanley Cups. He's 40 going on 30. He's a very youthful guy. He knows how to take care of himself. The addition of Matt Cullen, what will that mean to this hockey team?
I just think it means more depth. I think it means more veterans in your lineup, and more guys that have been in all kinds of situations and worked their way through. A guy who's got 3 Stanley Cups, I mean, you can't, it's tough to gather that kind of experience and that kind of leadership, and he brings all that stuff. So it's going to be great to have a guy that you can count on. What I like about Cullen is he's got a lot of versatility. He could move up and down from the top line down all the way through down to the fourth line. Good guy in the faceoff circle. He's a good leader. He's good for the young guys. I mean, he's just an all around kind of person that you want on your team for every reason. So I think it's great to be able to have him on board. And you know, we'll see how everything else filters in around him. But I just like that signing so much. Known Matt Cullen for quite some time, so I just know that he's a quality person and a quality player.
Yeah, he brings a lot of substance to the table, no doubt about it. Another guy who has substance is Mikko Koivu, the captain. He signed the 2-year, $11 million contract extension recently. So he's with the Wild through 2020, most likely will finish his career here. Certainly they wanted to lock him up and reward him for what he's done.
I think so. I mean, I honestly didn't see it being a problem. I mean, just, you know, knowing Mikko for so long, he's the kind of guy who would be something that you expect to see from him to make something like this very uncomfortable or to drag it out or to make it difficult. His first goal was to get it done before the season started because he didn't want it hanging over him and the team the entire season. And he didn't want that kind of being a distraction. So that tells you one thing right there about what Mikko Koivu is all about. He's about this team. He's about being a quality guy and a quality player. And I think it's terrific that they sign him because, you know, there's a lot of people that don't recognize that Mikko Koivu, even he's not a flashy player, but he's so effective. And if you watch hockey enough, you recognize that what he does on the ice is imperative for a team to win. You need a strong guy up the middle. You need a guy who can take faceoffs and win them. You need a guy who's going to compete every single night. You need a good leader, a glue guy, a guy that's always there in the team's capacity. So, I mean, I love the signing. I think it's great that we're going to have him for 3 more years. And we'll see how it all turns around here for the Wild with a guy that you can definitely have other players work around. He's part of that very successful line from last year with Granlund and Zucker, and hopefully that comes back together very nicely here this season.
All right, Mike, as always, great to talk to you. We'll do it throughout the NHL season. Have a great Sunday.
Look forward to it. Take care.
All right, very good. He's Mike Greenlay, Minnesota Wild TV analyst. Right now, 4:32 on WCCO. 90 degrees, mostly cloudy, wind out of the south at 17. It's sticky outside. Dew point is 63. 4:39 on a sports Sunday. Eric in for Stevie T, who was in earlier today for Denny Long. The Lynx and Sparks tied at 79. Final minutes of that game, they could be looking at overtime. That's at the Barn. Vikings win today over Tampa Bay, 34-17 at U.S. Bank Stadium. Twins win in Detroit, 10-4. Joining us now, our good friend Al Newman, who played on the 87 and 91 World Series title teams for the Minnesota Twins. And Al, we're going to go heavy on the Twins, but I know you were at the Vikings game today. So was I. Certainly an impressive effort for the backup quarterback, Case Keenum.
Yeah, it was a great game, E. Thanks for having me on. I need to thank the Cambria guy, Mr. Davis, for allowing me to sit this suite. It was a beautiful game to watch with some great friends.
Well, I know you're a football guy. Back in the day, you and I actually did a broadcast together in South Dakota. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was one that I want to forget, and you know that, Eric. But I did the best I could at that point in time, and I got through it.
Yeah, you did, and you're doing very well, and you certainly have your hands in a lot of things. St. Cloud Rocks, youth baseball, very involved with the Twins. How about your former team? It was 30 years ago, and you were part of the magic when a team came out of nowhere, won the old AL West with 85 wins, and then shocked Detroit in the ALCS and stunned St. Louis in the World Series. It was a miraculous run. Now, 30 years later, Al, it has that feel to some degree.
Oh, most definitely, man. I really like this team. I like their development. I like the way that even with their big guys that know out of the lineup, you know, guys like Escobar have stepped up, Rosario has stepped up, and the surprise of the group, he's finally arrived, is Brian Buxton is doing a tremendous job, not only playing defense, but now the offense is starting to show up.
Yes.
And let's not forget the old man, Joe Mauer, who is starting to enjoy playing the game. Not that he did before, but now he's got some help in the lineup. His true talent is starting to show up again.
Yeah, no question. Joe Mauer deserves a lot of credit for the resurgence of the Twins. The average now 308, 7 home runs, 70 RBI, so decent numbers as far as RBI go. And Al, and you certainly respect defense because that's a big part of winning, and these Twins are much better defensively now than a year ago. Joe's probably a gold glover at first base. He's picking balls out of the dirt routinely, and he's just done a great job.
You know, Eric, Mauer has had a tough row here the last 2 or 3 years, you know, with the losing teams, and everybody expects Joe to carry the load. But, you know, we know as players that it takes all 9 guys on the field to contribute. And this year, now that he has these fellas putting their hands on the oars and rolling the boat, I always think of the Gophers now, the new coach is talking about put the oars in the water. When Tom Kelly said that way back in 1987, and row that boat together, and that's what this group of players are doing. And Joe is a tremendous athletic player. Back in the day, I definitely thought he could make that transition to third base when Corey Koski left as a free agent. And that was many, many moons ago. But he's handling first base like he's been over there his whole career. He may not win the Gold Glove, but he definitely is deserving of winning the Gold Glove.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. And you're right, Al. You go into the Twins clubhouse, there are a few slogans up there on the wall. One of them is, "We're all in this boat together, everybody grab an oar," and that is TK Tom Kelly who came up with that one. I think that's very apropos, not only in sports, but in life. All right, what about Byron Buxton getting a Gold Glove? I mean, certainly the hitting has progressed, and he is so fun to watch. He's so exciting. But what he does in center field is mind-boggling.
Well, you know, the pitchers, I'm sure, you know how pitchers buy their catchers gifts if they win the Cy Young or they win an ERA title. I think the pitching staff, deservedly so, should put their money in the pot and buy Buxton a great gift for he and his wife and his kids, because he covers so much ground. You know, I'm not gonna lie, Rosario was good out there in left field, and Kepler's awesome in right field. And it all starts with defense and pitching. The defense makes the pitching so much better.
Al Newman, our guest here on a Sports Sunday on WCCO. Yeah, I wrote in a blog a couple of weeks ago, Al, at GameDayGold.com, that I think this is the most athletic Twins outfield since the Soul Patrol of Shannon Stewart, Jacques Jones, and Torrey Hunter back in the early 2000s. I think this group has that kind of talent. They're young, they're athletic, and they should only get better.
Well, for sure. I would make that comparison. I don't think you're out of line with that one, Eric. You know, you had Matty Locke out there. You had Torrey Hunter, Jock Jones. Those guys could definitely cover the gap. But this group, I think they may be a step faster than that group. You know, Torrey had good speed, but Buxton has world-class speed. Kepler's good at going to his right. And Rosario, he goes left and right very well, and they all have great arms. You know, they all had great arms, and we know Jock Jones' arm wasn't that accurate. It was strong, but he just didn't know where it was going when he let it go. But this group is very talented, and I think you're right on key when you said this might be the best outfield the Twins have ever had.
All right, Al, you've been in clubhouses. You've played the game. When Derek Falvey, Thad Levine made that decision late July, hey, we're going to trade Brandon Kinstler to Washington. We'll bring in Jaime Garcia for basically a quick audition. Off he goes to the New York Yankees.
Yep.
The perception was, hey, we don't think this team can compete for the final 60 games. In the room, that clearly did not resonate. And a guy like Brian Dozier, he stepped up. And it seems to me that he took that leadership role. I love what he does at second. I love his bat. But that leadership role, I think he made these guys believe that they could still go out and win.
Well, you know, when they let him go, the closer, at that point in time, I wasn't very upset, because at that point in time, they were not a contending team. You know, you got a guy that's getting saved. He's waiting to get saved. They weren't quite ready. You know, maybe that put a little juice or a little fire underneath certain guys, as if the team had given up and said, we're playing for next year. But again, the leadership skills of Joe Mauer, you know, Buxton coming into his own, Sano trying to stay steady. I think he gave his guys an opportunity to say, let's just continue to play and prove to the front office that we are competitive. And sometimes it takes certain things that the fans and maybe the media don't quite understand the psyche of the team in the locker room. Certain things can set off the team and push them to go forward. And that's what I think Paul Molitor has done. His staff has done a tremendous job. And I hope Paulie is back for 2 or 3, 4, 5 years, because he's done a great job. You know, at the beginning of the season, I was just hoping for a 23-game improvement. That's 500. He exceeded that, and now we have a possibility, a good chance of making the playoffs, whether it be one game or 11 games that it takes to win. Molly has given us a chance. He's got these guys believing.
Yeah, no question. And here's the beauty of it, Al. They're set up, if they can get into that one-game play-in a week from Tuesday in the Bronx against the New York Yankees, they're set up for Irvin Santana to be their guy on the mound. So that's as good as you can get. He's 16-8. You'll take your chances with Irvin against even the Yankees, who are kryptonite to the Twins. We know that.
Sure.
Irvin could certainly get it done in one game.
Yes, he can get it done in one game. And with the way Gibson has been pitching here lately, he probably would be the guy to start game one of the next series. And then you got Berrios, who's done a tremendous job his second year in the big leagues, consistency, attacking the strike zone. I think they're set up. I think they could upset the Yankees, who's in front of them. That's who we got to play. You got to go in there and knock the door down.
Yeah, this is fun, Al. I remember seeing you in Fort Myers in the picnic area out there at the CenturyLink Sports Complex in March. You were leading a tour. I was leading a tour. And you and I were hopeful they'd get better. Well, they've delivered. They have delivered.
Yes, they have. And it's fun to watch. And I know all my friends are very excited. And I know the fans of Minnesota are excited. And they have every right to be. Let's go Twins.
Thank you, Al.
No problem, buddy.
Al Newman played on the 87 and 91 World Series championship teams for the Minnesota Twins, and the current edition of the Twins may be playoff bound.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
They've gone final at the Barn. Game one WNBA Finals is in the bank. L.A. Sparks jumper, final seconds by Chelsea Gray. They win it 85-84 over the Lynx. Dagger defeat for Minnesota. They rallied back, but could not get it done. Chelsea Gray had 27 for Los Angeles. Game two, Tuesday night at the Barn. All right, it is an NFL Sunday across the USA. Let's get you caught up on all the scores. A victorious day at U.S. Bank Stadium for the Minnesota Vikings. They knock off Tampa Bay 34-17. Case Keenum had three touchdown passes, threw for 369 yards. He was outstanding. Dalvin Cook ran for 97, also had five catches for roughly 40 yards. Stephon Diggs blew up, eight catches, 173, two TDs. Vikes are 2-1. Other NFL games, they're at the half in Nashville. Tennessee 9, Seattle 7. At the break in Titletown, winless Cincinnati over Green Bay, 21-7. Aaron Rodgers threw a pick six in the second quarter. At the half in Carson, California, Kansas City 17, the L.A. Chargers 10. Final earlier today in London, U.K., Jacksonville crushes Baltimore 44-7. Buffalo Bills win in Orchard Park over Denver 26-16. Both teams are 2-1. Overtime in Chi-Town, and Chicago gets win number one. Bears 23, Pittsburgh 17. There's a shocker. Atlanta knocks off Detroit 30-26. The Lions scored with 8 seconds left. They reviewed the touchdown throw from Stafford to Tate. They took it off the board, and they took time off the board. They said there would have been no more time to get another playoff. How about that? Indianapolis gets a victory over Cleveland 31-28. In Indy, Colts 1-2, Browns are 0-3. New England rallies, knocks off Houston 36-33. Tom Brady, five touchdown passes, 378 yards passing for the Patriots. New York Jets are in the win column. They knock off Miami 20-6 at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Philadelphia, a squeaker win over the New York Giants, 27-24. The Giants are 0-3. I'd love to see the tabloids tomorrow in New York City. Big Blue going to get carved up. New Orleans Saints go into Charlotte and carve up the Carolina Panthers 34-13. That's a bit of a surprise. Tonight, it is Oakland and Washington at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Thursday night, L.A. Rams knocked off San Francisco 41-39. Tomorrow night in Glendale, Arizona, Dallas Cowboys, Arizona Cardinals. Both teams are 1-1. That is Monday Night Football. Kicks off 7:30 Central. All right, we got a lot more coming up next hour. We'll hear from Chuck Foreman about that Vikings win. It's 90 degrees at 4:57 on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.